Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Your Random Adventure. And today, this is the first episode of me and John from eTicket Channel's new podcast, Generation Gap. So, John, did you want to introduce yourself to people that might not know you?
Everybody knows me. Hiya, pal. It's eTicket Channel here, coming to you live from the Polynesian Village Resort here in fabulous Walt Disney World in the lovely metropolis of... what's the name of this place? Somewhere in Florida.
Lake Buena Vista.
That's the one. I was trying. It starts with an O. Orange, octagonal, Orlando. Yeah, like Tony Orlando and Dawn. You don't know who that is. But I'm sitting here with a cone of coffee. I'm enjoying the breeze. I'm enjoying the sun. I read Pirates of the Caribbean today. Did you?
I did not, because I don't have a Disney annual pass.
Ha ha!
I have a Universal one, though, so...
well...
I don't have a Disney annual pass yet.
Yeah. We're gonna work on that.
Yeah. If my grandparents are watching this, my birthday's coming up.
And Mary.
Okay. So, today our topic is the Disneyland Adventure Park, which is going to be the replacement of the Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris. It's big news. They're going to be, basically what I like to consider, they're going to be getting rid of what I consider Mike Eisner's his biggest failure, but he doesn't have his biggest of the not many failures that he produced. Euro Disney as a whole started off very bad.
Mm-hmm.
But Euro Disney, which is now Disneyland Paris, has evolved into something a lot better than it was, but unfortunately Walt Disney Studios Park is still in a state of disarray that is pretty much unrecoverable if not to do a lengthy refurbishment like they are doing.
I'm going to agree. Now, this is the Generation Gap, and usually I am the cranky old man who's not afraid of being canceled and says what he wants to say. However, I've not been to Disneyland Paris or Walt Disney Studio Park in Disneyland Paris. However, from the pictures I've seen, the place looks absolutely abysmal. It's got giant old-fashioned Quonset hut-style soundstage-looking buildings that it looks like somebody moved in a fair to an old abandoned airport is what it looks like.
I like to consider it Hollywood Studios, but with no inspiration.
No personality.
I mean, like, Eisner, of course, did Hollywood Studios. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but Universal went to Paramount to pitch Universal Studios Florida. Eisner was the head of Paramount at the time. They said no, and then Eisner became CEO of Disney and took that idea and made it Disney.
Yes,
like Hollywood
beat us to it by almost a year.
Yeah, and still did it better. I'm saying that as a Universal nerd, stan, whatever you want to call it.
I'll agree that it might have been better when it opened, but I think Universal has easily surpassed. I've yet to be at a Universal, but from what I've seen of it, they have surpassed Hollywood Studios.
Oh, at least now. But MGM Studios and Universal were both very bad on opening day. But MGM Studios was fortunately the... I mean, MGM Studios opened and only had, like, a handful of attractions. I believe less than 10?
Oh, I'm sure it was less than 10. I don't think there's 10 there now.
I think it was around, like, 5 or 6. That's just a rough guess.
Yeah,
and then but Universal opened with like 12, give or take, and only like 5 of them worked. That's just rough estimates. But you know, both of them both took the idea of a movie studio theme park, and even though it opened fairly bad, they took it and they made their own, and they have adapted into two of the only places where you can ride the movie.
Sure.
Universal's old slogan used to go. Unfortunately, Walt Disney Studios never got to that point where they could turn themselves around.
Well, they do have the... that's where they put Avengers Campus Europe, correct?
Yes, that is true.
And I believe that that did help their attendance some, but there's only so much you can do with comic book characters.
Right, and Poseidon Entertainment did a very good video about the European Avengers Campus and how it compares to how bad it is.
Yeah.
They replaced Rock and Roller Coaster with a Marvel coaster that is somehow even more incoherent.
Well, Disney is the same conglomerate that turned down Harry Potter on 3 different occasions, so their judgment can't be lacking. So when they execute well. Before they start executing, their judgment can be very lacking.
Yeah, they're also the same company that wanted one of the Harry Potter attractions to be a Buzz Lightyear spin type ride.
Yeah.
Which is, like, they could, when they have creativity, they are incredible. I mean, look at Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah.
You know, they took, you know, a trackless flat ride and made it into an experience that is a lot of fun. And while their time is long, you're waiting for something worth it. But in other occurrences, if you look at other rides in Hollywood Studios, Alien Swirling Saucers, or as I like to, the ASS,
right.
which is pretty, an acronym that is pretty reminiscent of how good the ride is.
Well, I mean, it's the same Whip Spinner ride that's, you know, at every other park in the world. And as Whip Spinner rides go, it's exactly the same. The theming's better. I love it. It's super cute in there. But
yeah, I like.
I mean, it's a space filler. It's a people eater, and I can dig it. You got to have those to keep the other lines moving. But what is in Walt Disney Studios Paris, and what is going to be there? From what I understand, they're doubling the size of it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pretty much they're taking what they have and they're not only rebuilding the entirety of it right now, but building onto it.
Yeah.
And I know they do have a few really good additions, being, you know, they still have the original Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
What do they have? They have, they have Avengers Campus. They still have the original Tower Terror. Mm-hmm. They have, the Cars on the Road attraction.
Cars on the Road?
It was a replacement of their backlot tour.
Wow.
Which is considered, and the Cars on the Road is considered not only one of the worst Disney re-themes, but one of the worst Disney rides of all time.
Really? I'm gonna have
It's painfully boring to watch, and I can't I can't imagine what it's like in person.
You know.
Now, I'm not usually very critical, but the thing is about Walt Disney Studios is it could have been so great, but they lost so much money with Euro Disney that they ended up taking so many cost-cutting approaches, and they cut so many corners that we're now left, how many years later, with still a disheveled mess that is now being replaced.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my question is, if it was that bad, did that park ever make a profit?
I don't think so. I think the entirety of Euro Disney was really rough until...
Yeah.
You know, until it was rethemed to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Euro Disney had the creativity behind it. They had a great vision behind it. I, for one, would love to visit there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And but Walt Disney Studios is just an uninspired thing that's just sitting next door. Similar, I like to compare it to, like, Disney California Adventure.
Yeah.
You have Disneyland and you have DCA. Disney California Adventure started as one of the lowest attended Disney parks of all time. Which was actually another one of Eisner's failures.
Hmm.
Iger swooped it up and turned it into something that is enjoyable somewhat.
Yeah.
And he is now doing, trying to work the same magic on Walt Disney Studios that he did on California Adventure. And I think it's going to work. You just need, like, they took the California everything that was Disney California Adventure, and they turned it into a mix of that and IP.
Yeah. Well, I think what we've seen with Tokyo Disney and with these re-themes that we get every once in a while to fix something that was totally screwed up before is that when Imagineering is turned loose and is allowed to do what Imagineering does,
yeah,
they produce amazing results. When they're constrained by a park executive who wants to spend the money elsewhere or doesn't have faith in their vision or wants to nickel and dime everything to death or doesn't want to shut down a section of the park for too long, then you get the results that go along with that kind of thinking. And you get things like Tiana's Bayou Adventure, where apparently, I'm from New Orleans. I want Tiana to be amazing, and the animatronics look incredible. But
oh yeah,
you end up with a ride that has a narrative that makes Bob Iger walk in 5 years into the project and say, "This is boring. I hate it." How did it get that far? I guarantee it wasn't Imagineering that caused that problem. It was all the executives along the way. Somebody should have made a decision to let Imagineering do what Imagineering does. And if they stay, if Disney Corporate USA stays out of Imagineering's way and lets Euro Disney make Euro Disney's decisions, Oriental Land Company owns Tokyo Disney, so Disney Corporate USA has almost nothing to say about it. They get to do whatever Imagineering wants to do. And mm-hmm. they end up with the results. We see what Imagineering can do when they're turned loose. Turn them loose, right. Iger.
I think the cost constraints are definitely the biggest. The financial aspect is definitely like their biggest struggle right now, even though they...
Of course.
That's always going to be the thing, the financial mm-hmm. struggle. But...
They've already committed $60 billion. Instead of spreading $60 billion out across six parks, spend $30 billion in one park and do something really, really awesome, and then move on to the next park.
And it's Bob Iger came into Imagineering at a point where it was definitely at a low point.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to swoop it up, and he was able to come up with some really cool things. You know, Tron and
mm-hmm.
Cosmic Rewind, and you know, there's obviously they have the capacity to do something really cool, but I just, you know, like you said, they have to set their mind to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hired him. Maybe you should start trusting the people that you hired. That's a thought.
You'd think so. But I think the corporate, am I using this right? The corporate greed?
I don't know. I need to hear the rest of the sentence.
The corporate greed is what's holding them back in that they're spending it on, rather than pleasing the guests, they're looking at everything as a business decision.
Right, they're looking at the short term profit and loss of what they can squeeze out of the guest instead of creating an experience that's going to bring that guest back over and over again. You know, their financial decisions are short sighted. Let's say that.
I 100% agree. So I did want to mention what they are also they're bringing to the Walt Disney Studios Park.
Please.
Okay. So they're bringing the Frozen Land, which is highly popular in Hong Kong, I believe they put it.
I believe there's one in Hong Kong, and I believe they're bringing one to Tokyo Disney, I think. So they're bringing a frozen area to that new fairy tale land that they're putting in.
Oh, right, yeah. And they're going to be bringing a new Alice in Wonderland show, which is Disney, given their theatric past. They can do amazing things with their shows, and I'm really excited with this. I mean, you think they'll change it to the Alice in Wonderland, if it's not a musical, the Alice in Wonderland non-musical show?
You think
we'll name it like that?
That's entirely possible. Logan's making a joke about how when they renamed the Country Bears Jamboree and the Little Mermaid show over at Hollywood Studios, they decided that it couldn't be the Country Bear Jamboree anymore. It had to be Country Bear Musical Jamboree, because everybody was confused as to what kind of jamboree it was before they told us it was a musical one. And they did the same. They did the same thing with Little Mermaid's musical Journey Under the Sea. Oh, is that where all that music is coming from? Thank you for clearing up my confusion. So, if they decide to do an Alice in Wonderland show that isn't musical, will they name it Alice's Totally Not Musical Musical? Who knows?
No music involved. Alice in Wonderland.
Well, I mean, if the Mad Hatter can, you know, if the White Rabbit or the Mad Hatter, whoever it is, can have an un-birthday, we can have an un-musical, right?
Was Alice in Wonderland the movie a musical? I don't think it was.
There were a couple of songs. I think the Queen of Hearts had a song, but it wasn't really a musical, no. But no, I mean, if we can have an unbirthday, we can have an unmusical, so why not?
So, another thing they're bringing is a new entertainment. We're going to be talking about the new entertainment. Mm. And I'm reading this. It's going to be a... So it says, hang on.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be a new entertainment stage with a 360-degree viewing area. Uh-huh. With fountains, music, lights, and special effects. It will be fitted with the latest technologies for water-based entertainment. So are we going to have what's the Disney California Adventure show?
It's called like World of Color or something like that.
World of Color. Are we going to get World of Color here?
That sounds like what it is. Well, I mean, they're going to get World of Color there. But, you know, if we lose Fantasyland here in the Magic Kingdom, which is a possibility, a water show replaced Rivers of America in Disneyland, so we might get a water show next to the Haunted Mansion. That's possible. But yeah, sounds like they're sending something like World of Color to Paris.
I'm excited. And there's also a new Tangled ride. There's going to be a new promenade called Adventure Way. It's going to be similar to just a carousel.
Uh-huh.
Themed to Tangled Floating Lanterns. I've frozen on the mind.
There you go. Tangled Floating Lanterns. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot, especially considering that mural that we just saw with the floating lanterns over at Riviera. I like that.
Yes, that's in our upcoming video, the Disney Skyliner Crawl.
Uh-huh.
Very, very excited for you guys to see that. And a new table service restaurant called Regal View.
Regal View, okay.
Isn't there something called that in...
No, Epcot has Regal Eagle Barbecue. Yeah. That's themed after Sam Eagle from The Muppets. So I don't think Regal View... I mean, it just sounds Parisian to me. Who knows?
It's character dining.
Yeah, it is character dining. Okay, so it's probably all princes and princesses.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I like human characters. Princesses, fantasy characters, don't care. I mean, honestly, I got a little crush on Snow White, but, you know.
I've always had one on Aurora. That was always my girl. So, Avengers Campus is getting a new nighttime show. Taking place on the Worldwide Engineering Gate, spring 2025. This immersive experience will combine projections, music, and special effects, along an all-new storyline featuring some favorite and new to Disneyland superheroes.
Okay. Now, is that any of that going to require closing the park? I mean, if they're doing this much renovation, are they closing the park? Or are they going to put up all the new stuff first and then remodel what's there? I mean, I would think they would do the new stuff first so they don't have to completely shut down.
Hang on, I'm not seeing that. Well, most of this stuff isn't coming until 2025.
Okay.
I think, so they're doing it in phases.
Yeah.
So the park should stay open.
Yeah.
In spring 2025, they're going to have the new entrance.
Ah, okay. So they'll be able to redirect traffic around the construction.
Yeah, and then everything is going to, it's similar to like new Fantasyland.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking, is that if they put all the new stuff at the back of the park, they can get that running before they start remodeling the old stuff.
Yeah, everything is going to be happening sporadically as the park stays open. May 25th is the start of the new show with Alice in Wonderland, and end of 2024, 2025 is the Avengers Campus. So most of the stuff is going to be happening within the next year.
Yeah.
And okay. They're also continuing to transform the Disney Village, which I believe their version of Disney Springs, if I'm not.
That I have no knowledge of. Didn't you say something about some new rooms at Disneyland Paris Hotel?
Oh yeah, Disneyland Paris Hotel is getting new Davy Crockett Ranch bungalows.
Davy Crockett Ranch bungalows, as we're probably losing Frontierland. So Disneyland Paris can have American culture, but apparently we're ashamed of it here in America. Right?
Yeah, basically. That's basically it. I think this is going to be, I don't think this is enough to fully fix the park. This is great, but it's kind of just like it's like softening it up for the guests, like,
yeah,
making it tolerable for now until they get rid of the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
So the new entrance is looking to be similar to the entrance to Hollywood Studios, and that you're going to be walking down, and instead of the Chinese theater, it's just going to be like a regular theater.
Yeah.
I think it's based on the El Capitan Theater.
Yeah, that's what I hear that. I haven't heard much, but I did hear that. The El Capitan.
El Capitan
Theater, yeah.
Which is also what the Disneyland version of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is based off of, the El Capitan Theater, they call it.
Right, yeah, El Capitan Theater. And then, of course, the one in Hollywood Studios is based on Grauman's, which Disney actually bought several years ago, so they own that now.
Oh, I didn't know they bought that.
Uh-huh, yep, they bought it out several years ago.
But nice. All right, so we've now got to talk about, is this the right move? Do you think this is the right move for them? Put money into this.
It has. They've got the property. They've got the people are, at the very least, they're already familiar with where it is. It's across the street from Disneyland Paris. It's not going anywhere. They can't just tear it down and start over, no matter how much they wish they could. Selling and getting rid of it is not viable. The only choice is to put a good deal of money into it and make it a viable product in the short term while they do the long-term fix, which is what it sounds like they're doing.
Right.
Everything else is a losing proposition.
Well said. I think if they're going to put money into anything, I think this is definitely one of the things to put money into. It's your weekend, and it's your all the other Disney parks are at least tolerable, if not amazing. This one is just straight up bad.
Yeah.
So it's definitely the park to start at. And I think if you're going to reintroduce it, I think a new name is great.
Yeah.
I think the name's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's it called?
Disney Adventure Park.
Disney Adventure Park. It sounds like one of those places you'd go to in upstate New York or New Jersey with zip lines and water slides. I think the name's horrible.
They should have just kept it as Walt Disney Studios Park.
Well, I mean, Walt Disney Studios Park implies that it was ever a studio and it was never actually a studio.
That's true.
I think
all the others.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, they actually did animation at Hollywood Studios. They actually filmed TV shows at Hollywood Studios. Heck, they filmed a TV show right here in Seven Seas Lagoon with Hulk Hogan. But nothing, as far as I know, nothing was ever produced at Walt Disney Studios Paris.
No.
So the name is poison. I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I think the name is poison. I think they need to change it, but I think Disney Adventure Park is a real stinker. I think it's terrible. I don't think it's any better than the current name, but at least it's not poison like the current name is.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I guess Disney Adventure Park's the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
Being both names suck, but if you're gonna try and move away from your, I guess from your, the bad publicity that Walt Disney Studios gave you, I guess a rename does make sense. So actually, I'm going to have to change my opinion and agree with you.
Well, my question is, does anybody have any nostalgia for that name? I mean, if the park's that bad, I doubt it. What are you losing?
Yeah, you're not really losing anything with a rename. It's not like Hollywood Studios, where changing it from MGM Studios to Hollywood Studios was like a big deal for everyone. I still call it MGM Studios.
Yeah.
No. Was never MGM Studios during my lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just used to calling it that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if they changed Epcot to, I don't know, Disney Adventure Park.
Yeah.
That'd be a much bigger.
Yeah, or you know, Disney's Fairgrounds. Yeah.
It doesn't fit. Animal Kingdom being changed to like
Disney Safari
Adventure.
Right.
You know, it
does not capture any magic at all.
I think Disney Adventure Park, I think they're just trying to replicate the magic that they that they had with Disney California Adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're trying to replicate the same Zero to Hero story that Disney California Adventure had, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, Avengers Campus sucks there, too, but it's a lot more tolerable than the one in Paris.
Yeah, I can dig that. I mean, and you can't name it I mean, you got Disney's California Adventure. You can't name it Disney's European Adventure. It ends up sounding like a Chevy Chase movie. You know, European vacation, American vacation, Christmas vacation. Oh, it's Disney's European Adventure Park.
I think they should. I mean, if you're, of all the names, it's fine. That's where Ratatouille is, right?
I don't know if it's. I don't know which park it's. I don't know if it's.
I think it's.
I don't know if it's Studio or Adventure Park now. I don't know if it's an Adventure Park or if it's in Disneyland Paris.
I'm pretty sure Adventure Park, because that was one of their attempts to gain popularity to the park again, was Remy the Ratatouille Adventure, and temporarily did that, but then they realized now that it's far. Way too gone. It's way too far gone. For it to be saved.
There's only. I mean, you can pour as much technology you want into a flat ride. It's still just a flat ride. You know.
True.
The kids, the Disney teens and the Disney adults like us might be impressed by the technology and go, "Wow, this is really cool. How did they do that?" And you know, we want to look behind the scenes and see how stuff was done. Because we're as amazed by the technology and the engineering as we are the ride itself. Well, kids don't care about that. They get on a vehicle, it goes in circles. They don't care how it goes in circles. It goes in circles.
They see characters, they get excited.
Yep, that's it. So that technology of Remy and the technology of Rise of the Resistance and the technology of Guardians of the Galaxy can only take you so far.
We don't care how much. A lot of people don't care how much it costs, as long as it's fun. Like,
yeah. Well, they've got.
As long as it's enjoyable and it looks good, then that's all that really matters.
Yeah. They've got all the technology. Pardon me, there's little gnats out here. They've got all the technology they need. They just need to use it more creatively. There's only so many ways you can go up and down. There's only so many ways you can go left and right. There's only so many ways. You can roll over. There's only so many ways you can spin on a circle. You know, tell me a story. Give me some interesting characters. I don't care how the technology works, as long as it's reliable and it isn't down for 2 days like Tron. Tron doesn't even use that magic, that special of a technology either. It's just a steel launch coaster, but it was down for 2 days, so. Make it work, Disney. How about that?
It doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of adding hypocrisy to my statement, but I'm just going to completely throw my other statement out the window. It doesn't really matter how it looks or how it is. It just, as long as it works.
Yeah. It does matter. It does matter. You don't have to change your mind about it. It's just that, you know, it's good. You have to have both components at the same time. It has to work, and it has to look good. If it doesn't work, people can't ride it, and if it doesn't look good, people don't want to ride it. So that both components have to be there.
The thing is, they're focusing more on it looking good than that it works. That's what I was trying to get at.
Absolutely, 100%.
And it's very much in Tron, which... is not only way too short, but for such a short span of time, has not only such a long wait time, but is down.
Yeah, and a lot of, I mean, if you look at the PTFE cover that's over the structure, the flexible fabric, it's PTFE. It's Teflon fabric. Which sheds rain and obviously and is resistant to the UV here in Florida, but it's not immune to mold and mildew and algae growing on it, and it looks terrible. It looked terrible before it opened, and it's just gotten worse.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool from a distance, but when once you get there, it's like...
Yeah, it's filthy.
Wow.
That's one thing. You know, if they're going to put $60 billion into the park, how about we close the park at 8 o'clock once a month all hands on deck until 8 o'clock the next morning, and we are scrubbing every square inch of the park once a month. I think that would be a noble sacrifice. I'd be willing
to make sure. Sorry, they got to make sure they pay the cast members for that. They pay them extra.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You get a differential. Anybody who volunteers to come clean the park gets, you know, gets a double rate. But there was, I mean, it's not there anymore, but there was a time there was a tree growing out of the side of the people mover. I was like, you really think Walt would have tolerated that? Come on now.
I don't, you know, quality was like, equality and, you know, looking at things, like most people don't see.
Right.
Like most people don't see the things.
Yeah.
But the cast members should see those things. Or not really, like the cast members are great at their jobs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Imagineers are great. But sometimes they just gotta, you know, do like Walt did. I'm speaking like I knew him personally, but I know from what I've seen, he had such an attention to detail.
Yeah.
That, you know, those Imagineers, they need to carry forward, especially when we're going into, you know, this new era of Disney,
Yeah. Eventually. Well, that's one of the things that excited me about Nelson Peltz possibly coming on to the Disney board is he went to Hollywood Studios, and he went as a VIP, and they gave him a tour, and they tried to impress him and win him over to Disney's side. And then I think just a few days or a couple of weeks later, he went back by himself, no announcement, bought a ticket at the gate, waited in line like everybody else. Nobody knew he was there until he posted pictures on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And he's like, okay, you showed me the spit and polish. Now I want to see the real, magic. He was super impressed by the cast members, but he had a whole list of things that were no-go.
Right. And most of that's coming from, you know, the corporate side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that they aren't... they're putting too much pressure on the cast members as is. And that they need to not really tell them what to do, but, you know, can't just leave everything up to them.
Well, I mean, part of the problem is they're afraid to tell them what to do because they don't want to hurt their precious little fifis. But on the other hand, they can't set a consistent policy. Earlier today, I had an interaction with a cast member, and it's not her fault. If you're watching, I wasn't trying to be mean. I don't think I was, but if I was, sorry. I said, just getting a soda at a shop, and I said, you guys do a pass holder discount here? And she says, sure, I got to see it on your app. I was like, I'd already had my card out, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm trying to record. I've got a battery in my hand. I've got a TENS unit in my hand because I've got a terrible back. I've got a tripod to deal with. I'm trying to hold this soda. Like, no, I'm sorry. It's too inconvenient right now. I'll just pay the full price for the soda. I was like, and can you tell me, why is the policy so inconsistent? Why do some people want to see cards and some people have to see it on the app? And she said, well, we're getting pushback from corporate that there's no expiration date on the cards, so we have to see it in the app to make sure that people aren't using old cards. And we're like, all right, you're selling a Coke for $5. Are you really that cash-strapped, Disney, that you can't let a couple of people get away with it? Seriously. And if it was that big of a problem, number one, make it consistent, make the policy consistent. And so that, you know, if I'm showing you my app, I'm used to showing you my app. I'm not showing my app to one person and my magic band to somebody else and my annual pass card to somebody else. And don't leave it up to the cast members. She's like,
leave it up to the guests.
Yeah, she's like, if I don't ask for your app, the bosses yell at me. If I do ask for the app, the customer yells at me. So no matter what, I get yelled at. And I was not yelling. I just asked the question, why is it so inconsistent? So if you took offense to that and you're watching, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. But Disney does not provide consistent guidance. They don't.
Right.
They expect too much from the cast members, and they don't demand enough from the cast members as far as making... You know, they demand too much as far as enforcing corporate policy without providing guidance, and then they don't demand enough as far as making sure that the guest experience is as magical as it used to be. You know,
right.
I have nothing against tattoos, but I don't want to see a million tattoos in Fantasyland. You know,
it's real.
People just didn't have them back then, not as much as they do now. You know, a polite person in that society did not have tattoos. A polite person in Western society did not have tattoos. You know, frontier land society just didn't happen. You know, so make, you know, go back to, I'm sorry, go, you get, they need to go back to having the sleeves. They need to go back to enforcing the dress code. You know, people in 1700s, colonial America did not have dreadlocks. Sorry. That's just a fact. It has nothing to do with hurting your feelings. It has to do with the guest experience. You know, Disneyland used to have a dress code for their guests. Gentlemen were expected to wear jackets.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a dress code, obviously, but it's not as...
Oh, there's some half-naked women running around this park, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people pull out, just you know, not... This is gonna sounding horrible. That was about to sound horrible. They're just like taking their shirts off and, you know, whipping out their vapes, and it's like,
yeah.
Why?
And it's not that it offends me personally. It's that I understand. I'm a Disney adult. I love Disney. I do, but Disney isn't for me. It's where I just happen to enjoy it. It's for the kids, and I don't have kids, but I don't want to see my, you know, have to explain so revealing clothing and shirts with inappropriate slogans on them to my 8-year-old niece. I don't.
No, there's no reason you should have to.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's that attention to quality that, that they're lacking, that I think is, they're finally doing something about it, especially with Walt Disney Studios.
Well, I hope so.
I have high hopes for them.
Yeah.
Again, looking at the Zero to Hero store at Disney California Adventure and all that, it's definitely going to take a lot of work.
Wow.
And it's definitely going to cost a lot of money. But in the end, it's if the guest is satisfied, you've done your job.
Yeah, I think I have high hopes for Disney Adventure Park. I think that the only thing that's going to embarrass Disney USA the only thing that's going to make Disney USA do the right thing in our parks is embarrassing them into doing it. And when Shanghai and Hong Kong and Tokyo and Paris are all able to deliver the guest experience that the paying guest deserves, but California and Orlando can't.
I mean, if you're charging $169 a ticket,
yeah,
I saw today, or the other day, they upped it to $169 for non-Florida residents 1-day tickets, and it's like $240 something for park hopper.
And you have to pay, then dig this, you have to pay, if you want park hopper on 1 day, you have to pay for it for the entire trip. You can't just buy 1 day of park hopper.
Which is completely messing with most people's plans.
Uh-huh.
Because most people, they do, from my experience, you know, it's like Magic Kingdom a full day,
yeah,
Hollywood Studios a full day, Epcot a full day, and then like Animal Kingdom a half day, and the other, and then like, you know, another park the rest of the day, or just, you know, half the day there, half the day there, half the day at.
Like, 3 years ago, they got rid of the half day tickets, which was a huge mistake. They had what were called convention rate tickets. And if you knew to ask for it, they would usually give it to you. And what it was is if you arrived after 12 o'clock or arrived, no, after maybe it was 1 o'clock, they had special tickets for people who were attending conventions at one of the hotels. Because in the morning, the hotel, the conventions have their meetings, all that good stuff, and everybody gets out and they want to go to the park. So they were only charging them for a half day. They got rid of that. Why would you send people away? Why?
I guess I think it's not to... I think it's just some people were abusing it. Which is the same reason they're getting rid of DAS.
Well, they're not getting rid of DAS. They're farming it out to outside entity. Well, I mean, DAS, I mean, is kind of horrific as it is. I have DAS for a different reason, but I'd ask about my because I have terrible knees, terrible back. And they said, no, mobility issues don't count. You can roll around in a wheelchair. I was like, well, I don't want to roll around in a wheelchair. And then somebody mentioned, said, well, you have this other thing going on. You can get DAS for that. Oh, okay, cool. And I had asked, I said, what about my battle buddies in the Army that got blown up in Afghanistan or Iraq? And I said, you know, they're missing an arm, or they're missing a leg, or their back is shattered. What about them? Man, they shook their head and said, nope, they can sit in a wheelchair. Really? Good to know. Now, this is the same Disney that just cut off the military resort, Shades of Green, just cut off their sidewalk access to the park. All right, that's how you feel about it, Disney.
What's up?
Huh?
Sorry, what'd you say? You cut out for a second.
Where did I cut out?
They cut off the military thing.
Yeah. So this is the same Disney that says that you got blown up for your country and we're not going to give you DAS. Too bad. Is the same Disney that cut off sidewalk access between Magic Kingdom and Shades of Green Military Resort. Yeah, go pound sand, GI. Yeah, thanks, Disney.
Yeah, excuse my language, but that's really shitty.
I agree.
That's really messed up.
But no, sit out in the sun, G.I. You're in a wheelchair. You can do it. It's all good.
That's not cool. Again, it's one of the things that is being abused by people who don't necessarily need it.
Yeah.
Cracking down on people that don't need it. And in that process, they're isolating people that do need it.
Yeah.
Or just
baby in the bathwater, man, throwing the whole thing away.
What do you need to be in order to qualify?
Well, they don't exactly tell you. I know ADHD is one, autism's one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Certain developmental disorder, but the thing is, they aren't legally they can't ask you what your disability is. That's one of the things in the law. They can't legally ask you. So they're going to farm it out to a company that will interview you, do a video interview with you, and if, in their opinion, you aren't trustworthy, you won't get it, and you will be banned from Disney for life. Come on, now. It's like, you're not allowed to ask me you're not allowed to ask me what the medical issue is. I know that diabetes... If you have diabetes and you can't stand out in the sun because you might pass out, That's DAS.
Yeah. So I'm just plugging my camera in real quick. Okay, we're good. Yeah,
But if you've got no arms and no legs, well, I would tell you to pound sand, but you don't have any arms or legs to pound sand with, so roll sand. How about that?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where people take advantage of a good system and they ruin it.
They found out that people are most likely to abuse it on days when they raise the price of Genie Plus. If you think that they're doing it because they're looking out for the people who really need the service, no, they're looking out for their bottom line. They're not doing it to protect people who are legitimately disabled. They're doing it to protect their pocketbook. And they're trying to...
100% true.
Right, and they're trying to build outrage. How dare you? Oh, okay, you're going to stop ripping people off. Maybe they'll stop trying to rip you off in return. Ever think about that?
Yeah, they're viewing everything from a business standpoint than a guest enjoyment standpoint.
Yep. And the funny thing is, with the Genie Plus, apparently at some point, if you do advanced reservations at a or if you do a reservation at the resorts, at some point they're going to reintroduce the advanced reservation system for Genie Plus. So, that's interesting, I guess. Considering the way it works now, is that you have to buy Genie Plus the day of. You can't buy it in advance. So
what's the point?
I guess resort guests will be allowed to buy it in advance, but nobody else will. I don't understand that.
They're just making decisions that make no sense. But
there's consistency. There's that word again.
But I mean, I guess they're trying to make some form of consistency in that they're trying to, you know, up their theme parks in some way.
Yeah.
Meaning that, and you know, Walt Disney Studios is, of course, the weak link.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to fix that. And once they fix that, I'm hoping that they fix everything else that they've messed up over the last 20 years.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, I hope Disney Adventure Park is a massive success. And I hope they embarrass the American parks into doing the right thing.
I think that's what's going to have to happen if we want Disney to be as great as it once was.
Yep. All right, Harmon. It's been almost an hour and I am out of memory.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching our first episode of Generation Gap. There were some technical difficulties on my part. I had to plug my camera in and that was pretty much it. So we were pretty good during this. So yeah, thank you guys for watching. I hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.
See ya.